We've been talking for a few weeks, and we have been on this road to resurrection, the Via Dolorosa. It's an actual road. It exists today. It span in Jesus' day about 0.4 miles from the courts where Jesus was condemned to die, all the way to Golgotha, where the cross was placed. Of course, he hung there and died there, and then just a few paces from Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where his cross hung him, was the tomb, borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Modern times, that path, that Via Dolorosa, begins at the Antonia Fortress and goes all the way to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And now, in modern times, there are 14 stations that line this path that give all of the detail and tell us everything that happened, when it happened, all of the details about that road that Jesus walked. But on this road, the road to the cross, we've been talking about the conversations that Jesus had, the miracles that he performed on his way to the cross. But he's finally arrived there. He's made it to the cross. He hung there on Friday. We spent Silent Saturday in the tomb, and now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they found the stone rolled away, and Jesus was not inside. He has been resurrected. Yeah. And so now that he's resurrected, what happens next? Where do we go from here? What do we do now? Because each week of this series, and if today is your first message in this series, I encourage you to find us on YouTube at the Church Covington, and you can catch all of the messages. I believe they'll be a blessing to you. But each week we have been moving toward something. We have been moving toward the cross. We have been moving toward suffering, toward sacrifice, ultimately toward resurrection. But now that has happened. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. Resurrection is not coming, ladies and gentlemen. It has come. It's not something we have to look forward to. It's not something we have to wonder if it is ever going to happen. It has happened. And the reason you and I can worship freely today, the reason you and I can shout amen while this preacher is preaching, the reason now that we can feel something good down in our soul is because Jesus is alive. I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you thankful? Are you thankful that Jesus is alive and well in this place today? Woo, I feel my help in this house. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to preach like I'm at home, because I am at home today. But here is the question that Easter demands us to ask. We have to ask this question. If the resurrection has happened, is it happening in you? We have to make the macro micro. We have to make the big story personal to every single one of us. If Jesus is alive, is he alive in each of us? Luke 24, we meet two followers of Jesus who are living in the aftermath of resurrection. They're living in the aftermath of resurrection, but they're not yet living in the reality of resurrection. We've talked the last few weeks about the road to resurrection, but what about the road from resurrection? What happens when we leave the empty tomb? Just look at your neighbor and tell him, let's go to work for just a few moments. Just a few moments. Luke 24, I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, but I want to capture the entirety of this story so that you can have it in your spirit, and then we'll pull out a few points and we'll grab some eggs and be on our way. But Luke 24, beginning at verse 13, now the same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Verse 19, Jesus asked, what things? They said about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Verse 25, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them and when he broke bread, or recognized by them when he broke bread. I know it's a number of verses, but let me unpack just for a few moments today and just offer a little context. The Bible says it was that same day. That same day. This is Resurrection Day. It's not a week later. It's not months later. It's the very same day that Jesus rose from the dead. We have other stories and other accounts. He was seen about 40 days by various disciples and all of the different encounters that he had with people. But this conversation that he has is taking place on the very same day that Jesus rose from the dead and exited the grave. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a big deal. It's a big deal. Jesus has just resurrected himself. He has vacated the tomb and now is showing himself to his disciples. But where are these followers? What are these followers doing? They're not celebrating. They're not proclaiming. They're not standing in the street saying, hey, look over here. Remember, you put him in the grave. He's no longer there. They're not doing any of that. In fact, the Bible says they were walking away. They were walking in the opposite direction. Because here's the first point that you need to know on this Easter Sunday. You can witness resurrection and still walk away. It's possible to experience resurrection. I mean, it's right there in Luke 24, verses 13 and 14. They were going to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus, incidentally, means hot springs. It means a medicinal place. I don't know if it was just a retreat or a getaway. Maybe these followers are saying, you know what, we've had such a stressful week. We've had such a difficult last 10 days. We are exhausted. We are stressed out. We don't know where to go or what to do. So let's go to Emmaus and sit in one of those hot baths. Let's just get away. Let's just find an escape somehow and some way. They're going to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, Luke tells us. But as they're walking this 7 miles, they're talking about all of the things that has happened the last few days. They were walking away from Jerusalem, the place where everything just happened. I don't know. I can't speak for them, but I think I'm hanging around Jerusalem. I don't judge them, but I think I want to be there. I want to be right where it happened. I just want to stand there at the entrance of that tomb and just. I just want to keep peering inside. I just want to keep looking around. I don't know if I'm looking for evidence. I don't know what it is, but I just want to be there. I want to be near everything that has happened and everything that is going on. But these two are leaving the epicenter of resurrection. Their feet are moving forward, but their faith is stuck in Friday. They're on their way to Emmaus, but their hearts are somehow still centered around the cross and all of the things that are happening. And Luke tells us they are discussing the crucifixion. They're discussing the cross. They're talking about the loss. They're talking about how disappointed they are. They were talking about what happened, but they are missing what is happening. You'll catch that in a moment. How easy it is for to live and remember what happened. What happened? Easter is all about what happened. But I'm here to ask you this Easter Sunday, what is happening in your life? I know it's challenging, but ladies and gentlemen, it is possible to attend Easter, to hear the message and to know the story and still walk away unchanged. Let me tell you this next point. Jesus will walk with you even when you don't recognize him. Whoo, I'm so glad he does. Jesus will walk with you even when you don't recognize him. Luke 24, 15 and 16, as they walked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I don't pretend to understand this. It is one of the great mysteries of New Testament lore as to why they do not recognize him. Is Jesus disguised? Does he have some sort of hood on his robe that he's pulled up over his face and it's down low and they just don't recognize him in this way? Is it a temporary spiritual blindness? The Bible says they were kept from recognizing him, but we don't know exactly how or why. We just know they are feeling some kind of a way. They are not alone, but they don't know it. He's with them, but they do not realize it. He's walking with them, but they think they are all by themselves in their feelings and in their trauma and in their sadness and in their difficulty. They are grieving in his presence. Folks, they are confused in his presence. I submit today they are even discouraged in his presence. You see, it's possible to be in the presence of the Lord and still be grieving and still be confused and still to be discouraged. The resurrection is walking beside them, but they do not even realize it. I need to skip to the end and just tell you that there is someone walking with you right now, even in your grief, even in your confusion, even in your discouragement. You just don't recognize your miracle is as close as he is. You don't realize that glory is as near to you as it is, but Jesus is with you. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. You may feel like you're walking it by yourself, but folks, you are not by yourself because Jesus is walking with you. It's easy. Some of us in this room, we feel like God is absent, but I promise you, he is present. He's present with you, but maybe not recognized. He's walking with you in your confusion, with your questions, with your disappointment. Maybe, just maybe, the Lord is showing up in a new way in your life. Maybe what you feel in this room is something you've never felt before. Maybe you're experiencing. Maybe this Easter Sunday is different than any Easter Sunday you've ever experienced. You feel the energy. You feel and see people moving. You're a part of this expressive worship. Maybe all of that is new to you, and you don't quite recognize where the Lord is in all of it. But hear me. This is so important. You can have the right information and still miss the revelation. I don't want to miss it. Luke 24, you can read it. Make note of it. Verses 18 through 24, Cleopas asked. He asked it frustrated, in a frustrated way. He asked it in an aggravated way almost. When Jesus said, hey, what things are you talking about? He said, look, man, are you the only one in Jerusalem that has no clue what's happening? Have you been living under a rock? No, man, I was buried behind one, but... Folks, you got to learn this about the Lord. When he asks a question, he's not looking for information. He's not looking for you to teach him something he does not know. My pastor always said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? When he asks you a question, he's trying to find out what you know. He already knows it all. He's trying to find out, hey, let me find out your level of revelation. Let me find out your level of information. They explained everything to him. In fact, they shared the gospel beautifully. They did not miss a detail. They explained everything to Jesus. It's kind of funny to me. They were talking to Jesus about Jesus. Lord, you know that man named Jesus. I just want to talk to you about him. They're talking to Jesus about Jesus. They spoke of Jesus of Nazareth, him being a mighty prophet, how he was crucified, how that the tomb is empty. And then in verse 21, they said this, we had hoped. Their hope is in the past tense. Their hope is in yesterday. Their hope is in what was. I don't know if you remember last Sunday talking about the expectations that those people along the road had, that Jesus was going to solve every political problem, that he was going to fix every tension that was happening in their world. Here, these followers are saying, we had hope. Their hope is now past tense. But hear me, they have facts. They have no faith. They have facts, but they are missing faith. They know the tomb is empty. They know the women testified. They know something happened, but they've not internalized it. The truth is, they know something happened, but they're still open to alternative explanations. They're still open to being proven wrong. This must have been a coincidence. Someone must have come and moved the body of the Lord. Someone must have come and taken him away. Hear me, folks. Resurrection is not just something to believe in. It is something to experience for yourself. Because I'm on the road. I'm on the road to my resurrection. You are on the road to your resurrection. But I understand today that Resurrection must be revealed through the Word. Jesus, I mean, he claps back. He said, "Are you guys slow? Why are you so slow to believe the prophets? Why are you doubting all of the events that have happened? I understand that everyone is shocked by the gruesome nature of my death. I understand that everybody is freaking out about 39 lashes, but do you not know that all of this was prophesied well before? Don't you know that all of this was spoken about? The prophets told that this was going to happen, and Jesus walked them through the scriptures from Genesis to the prophets to the promises. He shows them the cross. The cross was not a failure. It was fulfillment of prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing more powerful, there is nothing more poignant in the fact that the God that we worship is the only God who died and came back to life. Every other religion, that God is dead. Every other belief, that God is dead. Every other structure, that thing is dead. But this Savior that we worship today, he is alive and well forevermore. Central to our faith. It matters. That's why it's not, even though this Bible is a historical account and it's powerful, but it's not the only account. History declares everything I'm telling you today to be true. It's amazing. I think it's incredible that the first people to witness that he was alive were women. Jesus loves to empower women, because in Jesus' day, a woman's testimony, her word was considered unreliable. You take that anywhere in the Middle East, still to this day, Sharia law, all of those things that are lived out in the Middle East, all of those things are very degrading toward women. Their opinion is not valued. They don't have the right to vote. They don't have any rights at all. Their husband can do whatever he wants to do, but she gets beaten if she even has an errant thought. But Jesus said, you know who I'm going to show the fact of resurrection to first? It's going to be a group of women. It's going to be some people that I want to empower and embolden. I want them to know that I am alive. And so he shows these two followers. He opens the scriptures. Before he opens their eyes, he opens the scriptures, because transformation begins with understanding. You cannot live in resurrection power without renewing your mind in resurrection truth. Let me move one more time. Revelation. You got to know this. Revelation burns before it makes sense. Revelation burns before it makes sense. They were almost home. Luke 24, verses 28 through 32. They're almost to their destination. And the Bible said it seemed as though Jesus was going to travel on. He was going to keep going a little further. Hey, would you just come to our house? I mean, it's already late in the evening. We like talking to you. I don't know what it is about you, sir, but I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but I feel something when I talk to you. I don't know. It's just every time I go to that church, it's just like something happens to me. I was talking to someone before church today. I hadn't seen them in a little while, and they said, yeah, you know, I've been here and I've been there, and let me just be honest with you, Pastor. It's not the same. I got to be in church. I got to be in the house because I feel something. I don't even understand it all. I don't even know what's going on, but I feel something in this place. What is it? It's a burning. Did not our hearts burn within us? They urged Jesus to stay. They urged him to come and sit at their table. They wanted to feed him bread. They wanted him to hang around, because there's something about the peace of the Lord. There's something about the presence of the Lord. There's something about experiencing Jesus. You don't want it to leave. You don't want it to go away. That's why those disciples said, hey, can we just build a tabernacle on this mountain? Because we don't want to lose this feeling. We don't want this to go away. Someone in this room is saying, I wish church could last all day. Because I don't want to go back home where I have chaos. I like this atmosphere of peace, and if I go home, it's going to be an atmosphere of problem or challenge or difficulty. I like being in this room where everybody gets along. I like this room where all races have gathered and we ain't bothered by nobody else. I don't want to go back to my reality where there's hate up and down my street. Can't we just stay here? Come on, Lord. Can't you just hang out here with us? I'm going to give you some hope today. You don't have to lose him. He doesn't have to go. He can live in you. He can be with you forever. And if he's in you, that means he's going back to your house with you. And if there's peace in his house, there can be peace in your house. And if there's peace among us, there can be peace among your friends too. Did not our hearts burn within us? Something was burning in me. Because before revelation becomes visible, it becomes internal. This is why I've been encouraging you to stay on this road. Through the challenges, through the suffering, through every intersection. Why? Because resurrection. Something was happening in them before they even understood it. The same is common to everyone in this room today. God was working on us before we knew he was working. God was moving in our hearts before we even recognized. Resurrection often begins with a stirring. It begins with a little conviction. It begins with a burning before it ever becomes clear. Let me give you this final point today. When resurrection becomes real, your direction will change. What you're saying, Pastor Darrell? I'm saying what Luke said in 24:33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They got up. These people, we don't even know. We don't know if it's two men. We don't know if it's a couple, if it's a man and a woman. We don't know if they're siblings. We don't know anything about these two followers. One translation calls them disciples. Another calls them followers. We don't know anything about them. But I know they walked 7 miles that day. I don't know how many steps that is, but it's more than I got in me. Today, give me a few days. They walked 7 miles, sat down, and offered bread to Jesus, and he blessed it, and he broke it. It kind of makes me think they were following closely enough to have seen it all unfold in John chapter 6 when the Bible said he blessed the loaves and the fish and he broke it. Because the Bible said when they saw him break the bread, boom, their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they got up. I don't even know if they took a bite of the bread. I don't know if they finished the meal. I don't know if they changed. I don't know anything. I just know the Bible said that they got up. They got up from that table and returned at once to Jerusalem. Because what else could they do? We can't stay here. We can't stay the same. Knowing what we know now, ladies and gentlemen, Easter changes everything. Easter changes your plans. Easter changes your future. Easter changes where you're going to lunch today. Everything about Easter changes our lives. Don't miss this. They walked away from Jerusalem in confusion, but they're walking back to Jerusalem. Same road, different direction. They're walking back in clarity. Because resurrection didn't just change what they believed, it changed where they were going. changed what they were doing in their lives. Because when resurrection is real, when it's real in your life, it'll redirect your steps. It'll reshape your priorities. It'll reassign your purpose. Can I tell you one more time that Easter is more than an event? Easter is an experience. This is Easter. The resurrection has happened. But that question from the beginning of this message still remains. Has Easter happened in you? The resurrection has happened, but has it happened in you? Are you on the road to resurrection, or are you on the road from resurrection? If there's any part of you that thinks you're going in the opposite direction of God's mercy or God's goodness, God's grace, God's forgiveness, I implore you, make the turn in your life. Make the turn and go back to see for yourself. And guess what? Your life will never be the same again. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This Easter altar is personal. This resurrection moment is personal. Someone in this room needs to make the choice. Someone needs to make the decision. Am I walking towards something, or am I walking away from something? Am I moving in the direction of faith and commitment and godliness in my life, or is every action in my life creating more distance and more separation from the goodness of God, His help, His word, His revelation? Folks, you've got to have His resurrection in your life. All right, Pastor Darrell, you've convinced me. How do I get it? How does it happen for me? How does it happen in me? I would imagine on their way back to Jerusalem, they were saying to one another, can you believe we missed it? Can you believe we walked 7 miles the wrong direction? Can you believe we ever left that, ever walked away from that? It was their form of repentance. Man, if I can just get back to Jerusalem, if I can just get back to where that tomb is empty, if I can just get back among those other faith-filled disciples. Oh, that's what repentance looks like. Lord, I got off track. Lord, I took a wrong turn. Lord, I messed up. Lord, I fumbled this ball. But Lord, if you will help me today, and He will. Lord, if you will make a way for me out of this situation, I promise you, if there was a way into your problem, there is a way out of it. God is our way out. So just pray that today. Say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I repent of my sin. Lord, I submit my life to you. Lord, I give you everything I am and all that I have. I will not do this without you. Save me. Fix me. Heal me. In Jesus' name. Tell Him, say, today I believe I am saved. My life is changed forever. And from this moment on, I will follow you, Lord. I will walk with you, and I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.